Today is Monday, the 2nd of February, and this is the World Socialist Website. Epstein Files Reveal Criminality of American Oligarchy by Jacob Cross. On Friday, the Justice Department released more than 3 million documents, including more than 2,000 videos and 180,000 images related to financier and sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. The documents associate Epstein, who ran a prostitution ring trafficking children for sexual abuse, with Trump, the younger brother of the British King, the current world's richest man, Elon Musk, and the former world's richest man, Bill Gates. Others named in the documents include former Prince Andrew, referred to as the Duke, who is pictured in photographs with Epstein and appears in emails that shed new light on their contact, British billionaire Richard Branson, who appears in images and contact materials, former Treasury Secretary and Harvard President Lawrence Summers, listed in schedules and correspondence about meetings and dinners, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who is described as staying at Epstein's New York mansion even after his 2008 conviction, and billionaire Steve Tisch, co-owner of the New York Giants, who is included in emails in which Epstein describes arranging to provide women for him. Others include former President Bill Clinton, Donald Trump's former advisor Steve Bannon, and a wider cast of billionaires, financiers, celebrities and officials whose names populate Epstein's contact books, flight logs and internal communications. While some of those named deny wrongdoing and claim only incidental contact, the files provide a chilling portrait of a tightly interconnected global elite orbiting Epstein's criminal enterprise. Epstein was a billionaire financier who ran an international sex trafficking operation for decades, procuring underaged girls for himself and his wealthy and powerful associates. After a 2008 conviction in Florida for procuring minors for prostitution, Epstein received a sweetheart deal orchestrated by Alex Acosta, who later served as Trump's Labor Secretary. The deal allowed Epstein to serve just 15 months in a county jail with work release, despite prosecutors having identified 30 victims. According to a 2019 report by the Daily Beast, Acosta told Trump transition officials he had cut the deal because he, quote, had been told to back off, that Epstein was above his pay grade, end quote. Acosta reportedly said, quote, I was told Epstein belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone, end quote. Epstein was arrested again in July 2019 on federal sex trafficking charges. He was found dead in his cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan on August 10, 2019, in what the government absurdly ruled a suicide. Despite ample evidence, none of Epstein's clients, among leading politicians and business leaders, have been charged, let alone convicted. Multiple reports submitted to the FBI's National Threat Operations Center allege sexual abuse involving Trump and Epstein. One complaint claims a 13 or 14-year-old girl was forced to perform oral sex on Trump. Another report from a 16-year-old model described attending orgy parties at Epstein's New York residence, attended by Trump, Bill Clinton, and other powerful figures. Musk, the largest single donor to Trump's 2024 campaign, appears throughout the release, with his name referenced more than 1,000 times. In November 2012, 4 years after Epstein pleaded guilty to procuring minors, Musk emailed him asking, quote, what day, night will be the wildest party on your island, end quote. In December 2013, Musk again sought to visit Epstein, writing, quote, we'll be in BVI St. Bart's area over the holidays. Is there a good time to visit? Epstein responded, I will send heli for you. Subsequent emails between Epstein, Musk, and Epstein's assistant, Leslie Groff, show continued coordination over travel to the island in early January 2014. These emails contradict Musk's 2019 claim to Vanity Fair that he declined repeated invitation to Epstein's island and never visited. Over the weekend, Musk denounced reporting on the emails as fake and the files themselves as a distraction. Gates also features prominently. In a 2013 email, Epstein appeared to blackmail Gates, referencing requests to delete emails regarding Gates' sexually transmitted disease, requests for antibiotics to secretly give to Melinda Gates, and explicit sexual details. Epstein suggested Gates provide him with millions of dollars and purchase a home. Melinda Gates later stated publicly that her divorce was due to her husband's relationship with Epstein, whom she described as evil. Among the files are emails showing emails from billionaire Steve Titch, co-owner of the New York Giants, seeking Epstein's help in procuring women for sex, years after Epstein's 2008 conviction. The exchanges reveal Epstein remained actively engaged in trafficking with the knowledge of elite clients. Titch is the cousin of NYPD Commissioner Jessica Titch, reappointed by New York Mayor Zoran Mamdani. The files underscore the international scope of Epstein's network. Newly released photographs show Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, formerly Prince Andrew, positioned on top of a young female whose face has been redacted. In Britain, Peter Mandelson, a central architect of New Labour, resigned from a party role after it was revealed he received three payments of $25,000 from Epstein. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick also sought to distance himself from Epstein, claiming he cut ties in 2005 after noticing a massage table in Epstein's apartment. However, emails show Lutnick corresponding with Epstein as late as 2012, well after the conviction. In one December 2012 email, Lutnick coordinated dinner plans in the Caribbean while travelling with his family and children, ranging in age from 7 to 16. These powerful individuals, who run entire governments, banks and corporations, claim they did not know what Epstein was. What nonsense. Everybody knew. The sheer scale of his contacts, the extraordinary reach of his network, speaks to the character of the ruling class itself. While documents are being released, every element is covered in deceit, including what is released and what information is redacted. In a statement released Friday evening signed by 20 of Epstein's victims, the signers wrote, quote, "This latest release of Jeffrey Epstein files is being sold as transparency, but what it actually does is expose survivors. Once again, survivors are having their names and identifying information exposed, while the men who abused us remain hidden and protected," end quote. The more fundamental political questions remain unanswered, and if it remains in the hands of the ruling class, will remain unanswered. Epstein was not an independent operator. Whose interests was he serving? Was he working for the CIA, the Mossad, or some other intelligence agency? Acosta's claim that Epstein, quote, belonged to intelligence, has never been investigated. As for the circumstances of his death, no one believes it was a suicide. Beyond the specific individuals involved, the Epstein scandal reveals the character of a social class. The American oligarchy has amassed its wealth through parasiticism, speculation, and fraud. It is, in its social being, in its mode of acquisition, a criminal class at the summit of American politics. Its fortunes are the product of financial manipulation, corporate swindling, war profiteering, and the exploitation of billions of people. The oligarchy feels itself above the law. Trump is the personification of this class, brazenly criminal, contemptuous of democratic norms, openly inciting fascist violence and plotting war. His administration views the Constitution as a worthless piece of paper, international law as irrelevant. It declares the right to murder individuals, citizens and non-citizen, with the words of the Vice President J.D. Vance, absolute immunity. The American ruling class is wallowing in political, social, legal and moral degradation. The Epstein scandal holds up a mirror to itself. Measles outbreak rips through Dili Child Detention Centre as nationwide epidemic deepens, by Benjamin Mateus. A measles outbreak has been reported at the South Texas Family Residential Centre in Dili, Texas, one of the largest family immigration detention facilities in the United States, according to a sworn declaration by Ben Thomas, the chief of staff to Congressman Joaquin Castro, and public statements by immigration attorney Eric Lee. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, informed Rep. Castro's office on January 31 that an outbreak is underway at the facility, which has since been placed under lockdown. The Dili facility has a capacity to hold up to 2,400 people and routinely confines hundreds of families and children at any given time. Last week, Lee documented a significant protest inside the facility, with detained parents and children chanting for release. Many of those held at Dili are asylum-seeking families, including young children, confined in close quarters with limited access to medical care. The introduction of measles, among the most contagious pathogens known to man, into such an environment represents an acute public health danger. It also serves as the most concentrated and brutal expression of a broader national breakdown in public health protections that now threatens the United States with the loss of its measles elimination status for the first time in a quarter century. The outbreak at Dili is unfolding amid a nationwide resurgence of measles that has reached a critical inflection point. In South Carolina, a massive outbreak has now surpassed the 2025 Texas epidemic to become the largest single outbreak since measles was declared eliminated in the United States in 2000. As of late January 2026, South Carolina has confirmed 847 cases, overwhelmingly concentrated in Spartanburg County. At the national level, persistent transmission clusters, most notably in Utah, drove the total number of confirmed measles cases in 2025 to 2,267, the highest annual count since 1992. The resurgence reflects a profound collapse of herd immunity that is both geographically concentrated and statistically stark. National kindergarten measles, mumps, rubella, MMR vaccination coverage has fallen to 92.5%, well below the 95% threshold required to prevent sustained transmission, with 39 states now failing to meet this standard. South Carolina has emerged as the epicenter of this breakdown, where school vaccination rates in Spartanburg County hover near 90%, creating conditions for uncontrolled spread. During a January 28, 2026 media briefing, South Carolina state epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell described the speed of the outbreak as unprecedented, noting that the state reached case totals in just 16 weeks that took Texas 7 months to accumulate the previous year. Bell warned that it was, quote, disconcerting to consider what our final trajectory will look like, end quote, emphasizing that 95% of cases involved unvaccinated individuals and that transmission is spreading rapidly throughout households, schools, and churches. At the same time, Utah has confirmed 176 cases, primarily concentrated in the state's Southwest Health District, demonstrating that geographically concentrated pockets of vaccine refusal are producing sustained community transmission capable of overwhelming local public health systems. This erosion of immunity is most pronounced in the Intermountain West and the South. Utah now reports an MMR vaccination rate of just 88.6%, driven by a sharp increase in non-medical exemptions, which exceed 10% among in-person kindergarteners and more than 50% among online students. This vulnerability extends beyond measles. Public health data show that nearly 20% of kindergarteners in southwest Utah lack protection against polio, while national pediatric uptake of the 2025-2026 COVID-19 vaccine remains at a dismal 7.6%. This public health regression is a direct result of the systematic dismantling of public health infrastructure that accelerated with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, now in its seventh year. The sustained erosion of vaccination programs and surveillance capacity has created the conditions in which 94% of recent measles cases have occurred among unvaccinated individuals. Dr. Dimitri C. Daskalakis, an infectious disease physician and former public health official, has characterized the current measles resurgence not as an isolated epidemiological failure, but as a critical, vital sign indicating that the US public health system is about to code. Daskalakis departed the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, amid a sweeping purge of public health leadership, exemplified by Health and Human Services HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s firing of CDC Director Susan Menares after she reportedly refused to pre-approve recommendations issued by the newly constituted Anti-Vaccine Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP. Daskalakis has noted that vaccines, once regarded as routine life-saving interventions, have been transformed into objects of political controversy. This shift has occurred alongside the devastation of public health agencies that have been decimated and whose communications have been compromised by ideology. The resulting collapse in institutional capacity, he argues, is so advanced that the technical question of measles elimination status is secondary to a more fundamental reality. The infrastructure required to protect the population has already failed. Emphasizing the political implications of this breakdown, Daskalakis stated, quote, "Public health as an institution and the people's health as a mission are in trouble. No matter what the outcome of the process to review our measles elimination status, the message is clear. We already know that our public health institutions are sick and need to be reimagined, whether we keep or lose our elimination status." End quote. While infectious disease experts warn that these developments signify a public health system in induced collapse, the current administration has instead worked to normalize the disaster. CDC Principal Deputy Director Ralph Abraham recently dismissed the impending loss of measles elimination status as merely, quote, "the cost of doing business." Such official indifference constitutes a historic betrayal of the working class, subordinating the right to life and population health to the so-called freedom of anti-science ideology and political expediency. This outlook has been fully embodied in Kennedy's anti-vaccine positions and hostility to scientific authorities, which now dominate among the leadership of the nation's public health apparatus. As a result, the United States now faces the imminent prospect of formally losing its measles elimination status, a designation it had maintained for more than a quarter century. The Pan-American Health Organization, PAHO, is scheduled to review the country's standing in April 2026. In a January 16, 2026 statement, PAHO explained, quote, "The meeting follows measles outbreaks reported in the United States beginning on January 20, 2025, and in Mexico beginning on February 1, 2025. The meeting date has been set to give national health authorities and national sustainability committees sufficient time to prepare comprehensive reports, including descriptions and analyses with detailed epidemiological and laboratory evidence for review by the Commission." End quote. Measles elimination is defined by the World Health Organization, WHO, and PAHO, as the interruption of continuous endemic measles virus transmission for at least 12 months within a defined geographical area. This designation does not require the absence of cases. Rather, it requires that any infections detected within a country result from sporadic importations or short-lived transmission chains linked to importations, not from the sustained circulation of indigenous virus strains. The authority to grant or revoke elimination status rests with PAHO's Regional Monitoring and Re-verification Commission, MRE-RVC, an independent technical body that reports directly to the PAHO director. The Commission evaluates comprehensive national submissions that must include detailed epidemiological analyses, surveillance performance indicators, and critically, molecular evidence. To determine whether the United States has lost its elimination status, the Commission relies heavily on viral genotyping to trace transmission chains. If molecular analysis demonstrates that the same measles virus lineage has circulated continuously for 12 months or longer, this constitutes confirmation of re-established endemic transmission. At present, the D8 genotype accounts for approximately 91% of sequenced measles samples in the United States. The loss of measles elimination status would represent a fundamental degradation of population immunity and public health capacity. Internationally, it would signal that the United States can no longer effectively control measles transmission, potentially triggering enhanced screening or vaccination requirements for US travelers abroad. Domestically, it would require a shift from outbreak containment to costly permanent endemic disease control programs, diverting already depleted resources from other critical public health priorities. While federal leadership, specifically CDC Principal Deputy Director Ralph Abraham, has dismissed this prospect as merely the, quote, cost of doing business, end quote, public health experts regard it as a catastrophic regression that lays bare the collapse of the nation's protective infrastructure. Regardless of the outcome of PAHO's formal review, Daskalakis has argued that the United States has already lost the practical capacity to protect its population because of the systematic dismantling of public health agencies. He stated, quote, "We do not have the capability to actually control measles, whether or not this is demonstrated through continuous measles transmission for 12 months. I'm going to say that elimination is already lost," end quote. The outbreak at Dili exposes this reality in its most concentrated form. Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, immigration detention centres and prisons have functioned as engines of mass infection, with SARS-CoV-2 spreading rapidly through overcrowded, poorly ventilated facilities where confinement makes effective disease control virtually impossible. Such conditions have long been characteristic of prisons, where the spread of disease is tolerated and often welcomed by capitalist oppressors as an instrument of control and attrition. Today, hundreds of children and their families are once again confined at Dili as a highly contagious virus moves through the facility, this time measles, which is even more transmissible than SARS-CoV-2. The same structural conditions that historically allowed disease to ravage prisons, detention centres and colonised populations remain intact, now repurposed under the banner of, quote, immigration enforcement, end quote, and public indifference. Systematic dismantling of public health infrastructure constitutes a direct assault on democratic rights of the working class and a fundamental threat to the most basic right of all, the right to life. The major victories against infectious disease achieved over the course of the 20th century through the application of science, sanitation, and universal vaccination demonstrated that human progress could overcome ancient scourges. These advances were not benevolent gifts from above, but social gains won through collective struggle. Today, These hard-fought protections are being dismantled by a social order in advanced decay that subordinates human survival to the accumulation of profit. Having normalised mass death through the COVID-19 pandemic in defence of corporate interests, the ruling class now treats disease prevention and the maintenance of public health infrastructure as unacceptable impediments to economic expediency. In this context, the resurgence of measles, a disease declared eliminated in the US a quarter century ago, represents more than a failing vital sign of the public health system. It stands as a damning indictment of the capitalist system itself. The deliberate erosion of scientific authority and the promotion of so-called health freedom function as ideological covers for policies that accept the maiming and killing of children as the cost of doing business. The return of these preventable plagues confirms that the defence of public health is no longer merely a medical question, but a fundamental issue bound up with the class struggle. Securing a future free from the threat of preventable disease requires the independent political mobilisation of the working class to reorganise society based on human need rather than private profit. For these articles and more, including live updates and Socialism AI, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been Jenny Campbell.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.